Right now, as we do each and every week, it's that time again. It's time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, as we do each and every week. Taking a look at a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. If you think you're ready for the third toughest course on the PGA Tour, then take one of golf's ultimate tests at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. And the first topic, Al, is Padraig Harrington wins his second straight British Open last week at Royal Birkdale, becoming the first person in 2 years to win back-to-back British Opens since Tiger Woods in 2006 did it at Royal Liverpool. But before that, it had been about 25 years. Tom Watson did it in the early 80s, 82 and 83. And before that, it had been 100 years since a European did it, exactly 100 years, 1906 and 1907. So Padraig Harrington really raising his level in the golf world rankings last week, going from 14th to now third. He is now third in the world golf rankings after his win at Royal Birkdale, behind only Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. And I ask you simply, is Padraig really the third best player in the world?
I think he is right now. We tend to, we've been locked in on people like Ernie and Phil, you know, as people up at that level in golf. But what Padraig's done lately, you can't argue with it. I mean, especially, I'm still amazed that, we thought early in the week of the British Open that he wasn't
going to play.
I
know.
Able to play.
That is amazing to me that at the beginning of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he said he was 50-50 on whether or not he was going to play with the wrist injury, and he ends up playing. And now, of course, now that he's won, it's been two straight majors where crippled players have won, with Tiger on one leg and Padraig with one good wrist. So the joke is going into the PGA Championship at Oakland Hills that unless you have a doctor trying to convince you to pull out before the week begins, then you have no chance. But I agree with you, Al. I think Padraig Harrington is the third best player in the world. He vaulted from 14th to 3rd in the world rankings, and that's a long leap. And I think he was better than 14th before last week, and I think he is 3rd best in the world. You know, mind you, only he, Tiger, and Phil, the top three players in the rankings, have won multiple majors in the last 5 years. They're the only three men that have won multiple majors in the last 5 years. And Padraig, not only has he won multiple majors, he's also broken through on U.S. soil. He won at the Honda Classic a couple years ago at Mirasol. He won at the Barclays in upstate New York with that miracle 70-foot putt on the 18th hole to win by a shot. Padraig Harrington is a world-class player, and the thing that separates him from all the other guys that could be in this list of third best in the world, Sergio Garcia, Adam Scott, is that he's won majors. He not only has won tournaments, he's won majors. You know, Jeff Ogilvy is right there as sixth in the world rankings. He's the other guy that I would say could be in this discussion because he's won tournaments and he's also won a major, the 06 U.S. Open at Wingfoot. But I think Padraig's better than him right now. He's won multiple majors. Jeff only has that one single major, although Ogilvy has won a number of high-profile events, World Golf Championships, the Match Play, and the CA at Doral last year. But Padraig Harrington, to me, is the third best player in the world. And then the guys right behind him in the world rankings, Ernie Els, Adam Scott, Jeff Ogilvy, I think they belong there behind him.
Yeah, and Harrington, I think, is the classic case of a really good player who wins, and that just does so much for his confidence, and it makes him a better player. But that's such a fragile thing. Imagine if Carnoustie hadn't turned out for him, with a win, if he had sort of Vandervelded it.
Right, that could have been
what would have happened.
The term Vandeveld could have become Harrington. You just Harringtoned the tournament, and he didn't. Luckily for him, Sergio missed that eight foot putt to win the tournament on 18. Sergio pushed it a little left, and they get into the playoff, and then Padraig, to his credit, played brilliantly in the playoff last year, beating Sergio by, I think, three or four shots. It wasn't even close there in that four-hole playoff last year at the British. All right, time for topic number two, and we will stick with the British last week at Royal Birkdale and move the discussion to Greg Norman. The 53-year-old finished tied for third last week on his honeymoon. Of course, we know that he got married a couple of weeks ago to Chris Everett and played brilliantly throughout the entire week, even par rounds of 70 on Thursday and Friday, and then a two-over par round of 72 had him the 54-hole lead to himself at plus two going into the final round, but he faltered there on Sunday, finishing tied for third in the final pairing with Padraig Harrington. Al, do you think we will see more of Greg Norman in the future, or is this kind of a flash in the pan from the 53-year-old Aussie?
I don't know is the short answer. I hope so. Nobody moves, other than Tiger, nobody moves the interest meter on golf like Greg Norman. I would love to see him come back and play. When he was at the top of his game, you know, the Saturday Slam in 86, you know, going through all that, I mean, I never missed watching a tournament if he was in it. And you know, he still has that kind of charisma.
And he's still got the game.
And obviously, yeah, he still has the game. Now, the question is, I don't think the question is so much how old he is, but I mean, you know, his business interests are so wide and varied,
right,
and time-consuming that I'm not sure that he'll be able to do that.
Well, here's the thing, Al. I've heard a lot of people say that the reason that he was away from the game for the last 5 years was because primarily of the business interests, and I don't know that I agree. I think the primary reason he was away from the game for the last 5 years was his health. He had such problems with his back that he took up the business interest more so because of the health. It was almost like the health took him away from the game, so he figured, well, I'm not playing right now, so I might as well grow my business into a billion-dollar industry where I have a wine vineyard, and I do Greg Norman wine, and I have the clothing business, and I've got the golf course design aspects to his business. Yes, he's got all that going, and for the last 5, 6, 7 years, that's been, you know, first and foremost on his plate. But I think now that he's healthy, I think we will see more of Greg Norman. I'm not going to say that he's going to play 15 or 20 events, but I think we'll see him play in most of the majors. I think we'll see him take up the invitation to the PGA Championship and play in a couple of weeks in Detroit. I think we'll also see him take the invitation from Augusta National and play in the Masters next April. I think we'll see him play possibly 9, 10, 11 events on the Champions Tour. I think we'll see Greg Norman play a good dozen events each year for the next foreseeable future.
I was thinking, you know, with the British, when he went into that final round with the lead, I think that the reason I most wanted to see him win was to get him back to Augusta. Because to me, it's just such a shame that a guy who was such a high-profile competitor there at Augusta for so long, never got to the point where he won and got the lifetime exemption.
Right. Right. You know, that we talk about the Paul Azinger description of Greg Norman last week at the British as golf's biggest victim. And I think the Masters is where some of those scenarios played themselves out more than any other place. In 96, coughing up that 6-shot lead to Nick Faldo on the back nine on Sunday. In 86, with Jack Nicklaus having the miracle 30 on the back nine to, as you mentioned, in 86 he had the Saturday Slam. He had the 54-hole lead in all four majors, only ended up winning one of them at the British.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Nicklaus was the guy that did it to him that year at the Masters. Bob Tway was the guy that did it that year to him at the PGA Championship, and Raymond Floyd was the guy that did it that year to him at the U.S. Open. Greg Norman, no doubt, had so many heartaches in his career, and Augusta National was the place where most of those played out more than any other.
Yeah, and let's not forget the most famous one, Larry Mize.
The miracle chip in 87.
Masters.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Two straight years, 86 and 87, Greg Norman finishes second at the Masters in heartbreaks. And then 9 years later, 96, it happens again. And even worse, it was that much worse in 97 because it was him that was imploding before our eyes. It wasn't Jack Nicklaus having a great back nine. It wasn't Larry Mize having a miracle chip. Russ Evans, Al Taze with you. It is Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760, our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, as we do each and every week, brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Challenge yourself on a course that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. Come and play at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. Topic number three, Al, is the precocious 18-year-old Michelle Wee, fresh off a disqualification on the LPGA Tour last week for forgetting to sign her second-round scorecard. Michelle Wee has decided to tee it up once again against the men. She will play next week in the Legends Reno Tahoe Open, the first time she'll play on the PGA Tour this year. It will be her eighth time playing on the PGA Tour, and she has yet to make the cut. The only time that Wee has made money playing against men was on the Korean Tour in 2006 at the SK Telecom Open, where she actually finished in the top 10, but has yet to make a cut on the PGA Tour. Ironically, the closest she came to making a cut was her very first time playing on the PGA Tour about 5 years ago at the Sony Open. Missed that cut by a shot as a 13-year-old. Al, good move, bad move, this decision by Michelle Wee.
Okay, Rick Haro, this is for you, buddy. Russ has teed it up here. Oh, boy, Michelle Wee. All right, first of all, Craig Dulch had an item in his column today mentioning, I think it was Jay Williamson, talking about people not being happy about her getting the exemption.
Right,
to play
many of the rank-and-file players on the PGA Tour.
Right, and I've heard this argument for years. You know, you're taking a spot that could go to a deserving PGA Tour pro. I don't buy that argument at all, because the tournament gives those spots. They have those spots to give, and the tournament gives them to the people that they think will draw the most crowd interest there and will benefit them the most. And Michelle Wee is a curiosity. There's going to be a ton of people who come out to see her play. Jay Williamson is one of the nicest people I've ever met, so this is nothing personal or anything, but Jay Williamson isn't going to draw anybody.
Well, he said that. To his credit, he said that. He said, I'm sure she'll sell a lot of more tickets than I will.
Absolutely.
But still, we're disgruntled about it.
So from that side, why the tournament does it, to attract local interest and to boost local interest, I absolutely understand it. From Michelle Wee's standpoint, what is the point?
Right.
Learn how to remember to sign your scorecard before you start playing on the PGA Tour. She's what, 18 now?
18 years old.
She's been playing golf for about 35 years now.
She'll be 19 in October.
How do you forget to sign your scorecard?
Well, that's the thing, Al. She's now at the age where she'll be 19 in October. She's no longer that young phenom. There are girls her age winning week in, week out on the LPGA Tour. Hell, the last two winners of the last two majors on the LPGA Tour, Yanni Tseng at the LPGA Championship in Bee Park at the U.S. Women's Open. Both those girls are 19 years old. They're her contemporaries. They're her peers.
Mm-hmm.
And she is now behind the curve. After being ahead of the curve for so many years, she is now behind the curve. And this is not going to get her where she needs to be. This is just, in my opinion, this is setting her up for failure. She is. I'm convinced she will again miss the cut. Why are we to think that now, her ninth time playing on the PGA Tour, she'll finally make the cut, when she hasn't made the cut most of the time in the last couple of years on the LPGA Tour and in other events around the world? She's got to learn how to win and compete before she can take on the men, and she must do that on the LPGA Tour. I do not think this is a good move. I'm disappointed, because I am a Michelle Wee fan, and deep down inside, I want to see her succeed, but I want to see her do it against the women. Enough is already about this stuff against the men. She's got to start winning and competing and making cuts and not getting DQ'd against the women. Stop trying to play against the men. I don't like this move at all.
What also, if she makes the cut, is that in a PGA Tour event, is that going to change your opinion of her place in golf now and for history? I mean, what's the point of that? You know, are we going to say, 50 years from now in the record books, Michelle Wee made the cut in a PGA Tour event?
I think
never won anything else, but she made the cut.
I think if it would have come sooner, if it would have come in her first three or four events, it would have been more earth-shattering and more of news. Now, if it comes now, it's taken so long, it's almost like it's fizzled. All the panache to it that would have been there is now gone, because it's taken so many times and so much effort to get there that once, if and when she finally gets there, it'll be like, all right, well, she finally did it, you know, ho-hum.
Right.
Because the panache is now gone. Russ Evans, Al Taze with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment, as we do each and every week, taking a look at a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it is brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. What do Nicholas Palmer, Hagen, and Sarazen have in common? Find out when you play championship golf at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com.